What a great God. We're going to start off with a hymn we haven't sung in a while. It's I don't know if we've sung it ever, I guess, but it's called Higher Ground. Amen. So let's try this one. Amen. What a great God. We want to get, we don't want to live in this world. We want to have our eyes on higher ground. Amen.
I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. To stay where doubts arise and fears dismay, though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven say will land a higher place. Ground. I want to live above the world. Though Satan's darts at me are hurled, for faith has taught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
We have in higher ground, hope of heaven someday. We can gather around the throne and we can give praise to the wonderful name of Jesus. Praise God.
Praise your great name. healer, Lord Almighty, my Savior, Defender, you are my King, Redeemer, my healer, Lord Almighty, my Savior, Defender, you are my King, Redeemer, my healer, Lord Almighty, my Savior, Defender, you are my King.
There is no one high,
no one high,
no one great, no one like our God. There is none more able, Christ our Savior, great and glorious. There is no one high, no one great, no one like our God. There is none more able, Christ our Savior, great and glorious. There is no one high, no one great, no one like our God. There is none more able, Christ our Savior, great and glorious. Lord, we stand amazed in your presence.
Hallelujah, you are an awesome God.
Astounded by your mercy and love, our hands are lifted high in surrender.
Lord, your grace for me,
your grace for me is always enough. There is no one higher. Forever praise the glory of your name. There is no one higher than you. There is no one higher, no one greater, no one like our God. There is none more able, Christ our Savior, great and glorious. There is no one high, no one greater, no one like our God. There is none more able, Christ our Savior, great and glorious. There is no one high, no one great, no one like our God. There is none more able, Christ our Savior, great and glorious. There is no one high, no one great, no one like our God. There is none more able, Christ our Savior, great and glorious. There is no one high, no one greater, no one like our God. There is none more able, Christ our Savior, great and glorious. Lord, we stand amazed in your presence. Your mercy and love, our hands are lifted high in surrender. Your grace for me is always enough. There is no one higher than our God. There is no one greater than
tonight. Hallelujah. There is no one higher. There is no one greater. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Worship the Lord. We worship you, Jesus, from our hearts, dear God. Hallelujah. Lord God, we pray from our hearts. We need it, Lord God. You are the only God. Hallelujah. There is no one beside you. This time, I'm going to ask us that we all come down to the front. Every one of us, we got a very, very special request. When you all get down here, amen, we'll talk about it, tell you about it, but we need prayer tonight. We need help from God. Amen. We are in the family of God for such a time as this, whenever there is a need, amen, involving someone. Amen. We can do something through prayer. We are not able to go into a situation and speak words or work some kind of a medical miracle, but our God can.
Amen.
Amen. But in order for Him to work, He depends on us. As it states in the Old Testament, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then God said, then will I hear from heaven, amen, and I will forgive their sins and I will heal. Again, it says heal their land, but it also means heal their bodies. Who we are talking about tonight is one of the charter members of Apostolic Bible Institute as a college, and then this Apostolic Bible Church as our home church here. And that is Sister Ruth Foster. She is a sister of my wife, and they are both daughters of S.G. Norris, who he and his wife, Sister Jessie Norris, gave their lives, amen, to establish this place. And what we enjoy on this campus, all of these buildings, would not be possible without the sacrifice and dedication of these people down through the years. They were here through the hard times. They were here when the pastor's salary consisted of the offering that was taken up on Sunday morning. And when Brother Norris came to St. Paul to take this church, he had been a very, very successful salesman, amen, in the sales field. And his last week of work in the sales field, his pay was $500. Now, that's back in the 1930s when $500 was $500. But his salary for his first week of pastoring this church, and that was before he started the Bible college, was the offering that was taken up, which was about $8.31, on which to raise five children. Amen. So again, they sacrificed, and they don't begrudge it. God was good to them. They didn't die in the poorhouse. Amen. And they are with the Lord now, but some are still here. And again, we need to pray for these people. They want to live. Their prayers mean a lot. Sister Foster has prayed for everybody in this church down through the years. She established what we called a network of prayer several years ago, where names were given to all of us, and then we were to pray for specific names, and then a chart was drawn, and you saw the lines connecting the different people all through the church, and it was quite a network. Amen. So Sister Foster, within the last couple of months, has had some very serious setbacks. She is in a long-term care facility, a fine facility, getting good care, but she has lost a lot of blood, and she is in the hospital right now receiving transfusions, and the family has called us and asked us, please pray, please pray. Amen. Sometimes there is a time when you know that it's time to pray. God, take them. Don't let them stay here and suffer. But whenever there is a desire to, I want to be here to add my effort, my prayer, what I can do to help the kingdom of God. And when these people want to do that, we can help them through prayer, because God is a healer. God is a healer. Do you believe that? Amen. Clap to the Lord if you believe He is a healer tonight. Praise God. Amen. We will take other prayer requests a little bit later, but I just want us to focus on this one need. I know many of you here have never met Sister Foster, but let me say it again. What you are enjoying on this campus, this church auditorium, the padded pews that you sit in, and all the amenities that we have at our disposal here to have a house of worship, amen, she has given of her life, not for just a year or two like some of us have been here a year or two, but for all of her life, amen, over 70 years of dedication, being faithful. Praise the Lord. So join with me. Ruth Foster is the name. Let's call upon the name of the Lord. All of us together, let's pray in Jesus' name. God, we bring Sister Foster before you tonight. Jesus, Lord Jesus, you are the Almighty God. Lord, we have sung this song that said you are our healer, that you are great and glorious. Oh, God, and we recall the situation where people in the land of Palestine came to you desiring that you would heal somebody in a particular family. And Lord, the statement that they made, that that person, Lord, had been good to the kingdom. They had built a synagogue for the Jews to worship in. And so, Lord, we're praying for somebody tonight, amen, that has been possible, responsible and has helped, dear God, to give us this facility. We do not call it a synagogue, but we call it a church. Amen. We call it the house of God. We call it the place of prayer. Praise God. It's the roof over our head that protects us from the environment. Lord, that keeps us warm in the winter and cool in the summer. All of these amenities that we enjoy, we pray for this person tonight who has helped to make all of this possible. So we ask now in Jesus' name that you will come into this hospital room. God, that the doctors will be able to find, amen, where that loss of blood is happening and be able to stop it, Lord God, and to bring healing, amen, to that situation. And we pray, dear God, that through, Lord, the infusion, oh God, of a few units of blood, Lord, or whatever is necessary, strength will surge through her body. Praise God. I pray that you would raise her up, dear God, to be able, amen, even to walk and to be about. Oh, God, but especially, Lord, she wants to live. She wants to pray. She wants to pray for the saints of God. She wants to pray for the families. She wants to pray for the missionaries. She wants to pray for the students in the Bible college. She wants to pray for the students that have come through this place and are out involved in the ministry today. And God, every day, Lord Jesus, she brings many of these names before you. But oh, God, right now, we are bringing her name before you. Praise God. And we ask, dear God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, hallelujah, that you will come into that hospital room tonight. Come in there right now while we pray. And Lord, let there be a miraculous touch. Let there be a quickening, amen, because of your spirit that dwells within her. Oh, Savior divine, you do not have to come, Lord God, from a long distance and from a far country. Lord, you are there right now. Your spirit resides within her. Oh, God, and now be a quickening spirit, Lord God, and quicken her mortal body, amen, and bring healing, praise God, and bring strength to that body, we ask in Jesus' name. Oh, God, you are faithful. You are faithful. You are faithful. You will not suffer us to be tempted or tested above that which we are able to bear, but God, with every test, every trial, every temptation, you will make a way of escape. But oh, God, this malady right now, this affliction, Lord God, that certainly is the temptation to the body, amen, even a temptation to give up, Lord God, but Lord Jesus, amen, be strong, amen, for her tonight, in Jesus' name we pray, amen, and it shall be done, and the answer is on the way, praise God, in Jesus' name, let's clap to the Lord, let's thank him, hallelujah, 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 praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, hallelujah. And while we're still all here together, let's take time for other needs. If you have a unspoken request, want to raise a hand right now to the Lord, and God, you know what my need is. I'm praying for a loved one. I'm praying for somebody who has perhaps a financial need. I'm praying for somebody that has a family need. And Lord, we ask you to undertake for that situation. Others in our church family, amen, that have also sacrificed down through the years, amen, that need the strength and comfort of God in their advanced years. Sister Esther Norris, Sister Ramona Curran, we ask you, Lord, for them tonight, and we will pray for them. And I heard that It was reported to me that there was a Christian academy over at Minneapolis. I believe it's the Minnehaha Christian Academy, which is a K through 12 Christian school, similar to our school, except a much larger school. But in their facility, we understand there was some kind of an explosion and somebody lost a life. Many people were injured. But that is, they may not be apostolic Pentecostal, but it's a group of people that are believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and trying to do good in this world, amen, by giving a Christian education to their children. Remember those people of the Minnehaha Christian Academy, if you will, tonight. Praise the Lord. Our God is faithful. Amen. We're going to believe him. We're praying for Steve Minot's sister. We're praying for Sherry Minot. Amen. And all these needs that are among us tonight, we call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. Let us pray once again together. Jesus, we bow before you again. Lord, we may be standing, but God, in our hearts, Lord God, we are bowed. We are humbled, Lord God, in your sight. Humbled over the fact, dear God, that you have chosen us out of all of the people of the world, Lord, to understand and to know about the great God of creation. Amen. To understand and to know, amen, the one that spoke the word. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. And Lord, this universe was created. Oh God, the one, Lord God, who created these our mortal bodies, and then when we failed you and we sinned, Lord God, you paid the price to bring us back to you so that we would not have to suffer eternal punishment. But God, you redeemed us by your precious blood. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, amen, for all that you have done for us. And Lord, now we know that you hear us when we pray tonight. God, you know all of these names that are represented by the hands that were raised. God, you know, Lord, each situation where people are praying for loved ones and they're praying for needs, perhaps in their own families, in their own homes, praying, dear God, amen, for you to undertake, praise God, in a special way. Amen, for some special need. And Lord, these names that we have mentioned, that we know about, we pray about those families in that Minnehaha Christian Academy, Lord, that have been devastated by this explosion that took place in their facility today. Oh God, we pray, Lord, for the comfort of Almighty God in that situation. Praise the Lord. We pray, dear God, for our sister Esther Norris. And we pray, dear God, for sister Ramona Curran. We pray, Lord, for Steve Minot's sister. We pray for Sherry Minot. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. You are our Savior, amen. You are our healer. And we give you the praise, honor, and glory in the name of Jesus. Praise God, amen and amen. You may be seated. I don't know if you know the song, "The Answer Is On the Way." This I know, Jesus said it, I believe it, and it's so. Our Heavenly Father knows our need before I pray. You can rest assured that the answer is on the way. Do you know that one? Would you let Thad hit a strong note for me? I've got to have a good key. I want to sing that. The answer is on the way. We got to have faith to believe that. Praise God. Oh, the answer is on the way. This I know. Jesus said it. I believe it. And it is so. Praise God. Nobody knows my songs. Jesus said it, I believe it, and it's so. Our Heavenly Father knows our needs before we pray, and we can rest assured the answer's on its way. Oh, the answer's on its way, this I know. Jesus said it, I believe it, and it's so.
Jesus said, I believe it, and it's so.
Amen. Thank him. Amen for our answers to prayer. Praise God. You may be seated. God bless you.
Amen. In the way of announcements tonight, just a reminder, we have Acts in Action happening tonight for our sermon series, going through the book of Acts, looking at how it's made actionable by the church. And then also next Wednesday, we will be going into that again. Also, Vacation Bible School is coming on up. It is August 8th through 11th. And so if you need more information on that, you can see Sister McEwen, and she'll be able to give you more information on the Science of Full Vacation Bible School. We have flyers in the back also that you can pass out to friends, family, neighbors, and so forth for kids ages 4 to 12. That following Sunday, that Sunday coming after VBS, will be Kids Day, and we're going to be having free cotton candy Sunday, August 13th, 10:30 a.m., so bring the children. And if you're a big adult, you're adult and you are also a big kid at heart, well, then come and get some free cotton candy as well. So that's in the way of announcements. If you would, as the ushers get ready for this evening's tithe and offering, I ask that you would give of your heart. Amen.
Cry tears.
and broken, you are the only truth and the way. You are the light to my heart and my soul. You are the light to the darkness around me. You are the hope to the hopeless and broken. You are the only truth and the way.
Typically have our youth service, but because of we're going through the book of Acts, we thought it'd be good for the youth group to be a part of this, and so it's good to see all of you, all of the youth here. And we are in our second lesson of Acts in Action series, and the book of Acts is broken up into three major sections. Everybody say three sections. The first section has to do with equipping or empowerment. The second section has to do with home missions. The third section has to do with foreign missions. Last week, we heard a message from Brother Justin Bishop about the equipping, being equipped through an example of God's word, being empowered by an experience in prayer, and being activated to be a witness of God, of God's word. And tonight, we're going to focus on the home mission section, reaching our local community, reaching those that are close to us. Before we're seated, let's once again just ask the Lord to bless us, be with us as we hear the Word of God tonight. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for the freedom we have to be able to worship you, Lord, without fear, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come together into a wonderful church family, Lord, to be able to lift your name up and to be able to praise you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I just ask that you open all of our hearts, our minds, our ears, Lord. Let the Word of God fall on good soil in our hearts tonight, Lord Jesus. I pray this prayer in your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. Amen. Tonight we're going to focus on reaching our local community, the home mission section of the book of Acts. This would be Acts chapter 2 through chapter 12. And as you read through the book of Acts, it gives a history and testimony of how the gospel was spread throughout all of the world, starting in Jerusalem. At the end of each one of the Gospels, Jesus was given instructions to his disciples to go fulfill the Great Commission. That Great Commission, we can see it's very popular. It's in Matthew chapter 28, 19. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit," that name being Jesus. The first part, the first chapter in the book of Acts, as you read through it, you see that Jesus is continuing his commission. He's instructing his disciples, or maybe you could even say he's instructing the lovers of God. Acts chapter 1, verse 1 says, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, and all that Jesus began both to do and teach." Theophilus is a name of an individual. We don't know who that is. But the name means lovers of God. And so the book of Acts starts off instructions for the lovers of God. Who loves the Lord today? All five of us, yes. Amen. We all love the Lord. If you didn't love the Lord, you wouldn't be here tonight probably. And we all desire to grow deeper in God. We all desire to be used of God. We all have a great love for the things of God. And so the book of Acts is instructions for us, and there is a template that's laid out in the book of Acts for all of us to observe and to take notice. And right before Jesus was ascended into heaven, he was telling his disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." He's talking about an equipping that's going to happen to you. "That ye shall be witnesses," everybody say witnesses, "unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." There's four sections here that it addresses. We will receive an equipping. We will receive an empowerment that is through the Holy Ghost for us to be witnesses, starting first in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then the rest of the world. Now, we obviously aren't in Jerusalem, but we can look at this template and we can see that we are to first reach those that are close to us, our hometowns, our home, our family, those that are close to us. Jesus was instructing them in Jerusalem, saying, "You start here, I'm going to give you power to be witnesses. You are going to help spread the gospel, starting with those that are close to you, starting with your relatives, reaching to those first." And then he says, "Go to Judea, the suburbs, the suburb of Jerusalem." Maybe that could be extended family, or those that live just a little further away, or maybe acquaintances. And then he says, "Go to Samaria," the Samaritans being the outcasts in society, or the misfits in society, those that don't quite fit in, those that people avoid, those that people kind of stray from. And then go and spread the gospel around the world. It is through the power of the Holy Ghost that gives us this power to be able to be witnesses, to be able to reach our friends, our family, to be able to reach those that we know, to be able to reach those that are the outcasts, and be able to ultimately reach the world with the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of, and help fulfill that commission that God has asked us to fulfill. Who all here is lovers of God? Amen. We are lovers of God, and so we will be witnesses of Christ to be able to reach this world. That equipping started with a 10-day prayer meeting. Let me back up. It actually started time spent with the Word of God. The disciples spent time with the living Word of God, Jesus Christ. And it was through spending time with the Word of God and through prayer, a 10-day prayer meeting, that God poured out His Spirit and He equipped them. He gave them the power and the tools that were going to be needed to be able to fulfill that great commission to be able to reach the world. And that's what the disciples did. As they were sitting there, the Bible says they were praying and they were seeking after God. And they didn't quite know what this empowerment was going to be, and they didn't quite know what this experience was going to be. But there was one thing in common. They desired to grow closer to God. They desired to see God's fulfillment in their lives. They desired to see God move in their community. They desired to fulfill that great commission. It reminds me very similar to our youth group here in this church. We just came back from NAYC, and I gave the report of all the wonderful things God did in many of the youth's lives. And all of the youth, they all agreed that they have this urgency to continue to keep the faith and to reach out to others. Their desire is so strong, and they desire so much, the youth of this church, that they have committed to fasting for the next few weeks because they want to fulfill the mission of this church, the mission of Jesus Christ, the whole gospel to the whole world. And I'm very proud of the youth. Many of them have been, they've been asking me a lot of questions. We've been starting strong and going well, and they've been getting hungry, and they've been calling me and going, is it okay if I have just a snack? Or what if somebody offers to take me out to eat? What do I say? Well, what do you say? Give it up for God, right? Amen. I love all you youth. You guys are doing good. Keep up the good fight. Remember, we're doing this for the sake of the gospel and the sake of reaching this world. And I believe with all my heart, and I know that God is going to honor the prayers of the youth of this church for the sacrifice that they are making. And I can't wait to start sharing testimonies of what's going to happen. Our calendar goes out a few weeks already, and we'll just keep doing it until God moves in a way that we want Him to move. So why do we do this? Why do we seek after God? Why do we spend time in God's Word? Why do we pray? It's so that we can help be equipped to be able to fulfill that great commission that God has given us. Now, reaching the world seems maybe a little daunting. It seems maybe a little scary. But the God promises, Jesus promised all of us that He will be working with us. In Mark chapter 16, verse 19 through 20, it says, so when after the Lord had spoken unto them that He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and they preached everywhere, as they were out preaching everywhere, it says the Lord was working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. The Lord was working with them. We do not have to do this on our own. If we are going to be working with the Lord is with us. We don't have to be scared because we have the Lord on our side. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. We have the God Almighty at our back. We're going to be just fine. The gospel would not have spread around the world if it was not for witnesses proclaiming God's truth. It took a witness of individuals to be able to help spread the gospel. The gospel would have gone nowhere if there was not a witness to spread the gospel. This world is looking for peace, and we have the answer of peace. His name is Jesus. This world is looking for some hope, and we have the answer of hope. His name is Jesus. This world is looking for comfort, and we have the answer for comfort. His name is Jesus. God has given us power through the Holy Ghost to be witnesses as God works with us as we step out and reach our local community. A witness is somebody that observes or experiences something. I am a witness of the Holy Ghost, because I have received the Holy Ghost, and I've seen others receive the Holy Ghost, and no one can convince me otherwise that it's not real. Why? Because I'm a witness of it. I have experienced it. I have seen it. I've seen it in action. I know it's for real. The more witnesses there are that are proclaiming the truth, the more believable it is to the rest of the world. We just came from NAYC. There was over, they said there was over 34,000 people. Everywhere we went, we were 40 minutes away from the stadium. We'd show up in a restaurant, and guess who we saw? Apostolic Pentecostal people. The hotel we were staying in, guess who we saw? Apostolic Pentecostal people. One of the waitresses on our way back in the middle of Illinois said, did you just come from that big event of Apostolic Pentecostals? Why? Because a group of witnesses showed up in a city and made a huge impact in that city. The city was looking around going, what is going on?
The more witnesses there are, the more believable it is to the rest of the world. It's important that we stick together. It is important that we work together. It is important that we are unified. If we are going to be good witnesses, we must be unified together. We see in the book of Acts that after the Holy Ghost was poured out in Acts chapter 2, that the disciples, they became witnesses to their local community. They started in Jerusalem and they started telling everybody about Jesus. They started to testify of what Jesus could do in their lives. They started to share with them how God had changed their life. And as they were witnesses, the church began to grow and to grow and to grow and to grow. And after the church in Jerusalem started to grow, they started to reach out to the suburbs and they started to reach out further and further into the community, further out. At first, they did not want to reach too far out. But God had to remind them that the gospel was not just for them. They must witness to every nation. They must witness to everyone. At first, they didn't want to share the gospel with the Gentiles. They did not want to share it with the outcasts. They did not want to share it with anybody else. They were keeping the gospel to themselves. And God so kindly and so gently said, remember, you cannot keep this for yourself, but there's this man named Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 who needs the gospel. He is a man who's been seeking after me. He's a man who's been looking for the truth. He's a man who's wanting and desires more of me. And I need you to go be a witness of him, a witness of the Holy Ghost to him. And as Peter went and preached to the man Cornelius, the Bible says as he was preaching that the Holy Ghost fell upon that whole household, and that was where the Gentile church was birthed, and they were, as he was preaching, the God started just to move in all their lives. Every once in a while, we have to be reminded that we cannot just keep it to ourselves. We can't keep these truths to ourselves. We can't keep this word to ourselves. We can't be selfish with it. We have the answers to this world. The world's looking for peace, and we have the answer. The world is looking for hope, and we have the answer. The world is looking for comfort, and we have the answer. The answer is Jesus. In this little bottle here, there's a little bit of ointment. If this bottle of ointment could heal every disease on this planet, and you had the bottle of ointment, you had the antidote that could cure everything, what would you do with it? Would you hide it? Would you keep it a secret? Or would you become the hero that saved the world? I have decided as an apostolic Christian that I'm going to be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have the answer through the power of the Holy Ghost and His Word, that I'm not going to hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine. Jesus instructed us to be a city that is set on a hill so that the Word of God can be proclaimed, because He wants the message to be heard to all. We are referred to as the salt. We are not to be just bring flavor to this world, but we are to bring a message of hope to this world. We are instructed to be witnesses in Jesus' name. As you continue to read through the book of Acts, you discover that they didn't really do an incredible job at first in reaching the world. And Jesus had to send persecution to them to help spread the gospel. He had to send trials to them to make them be witnesses. It took hard times to get the gospel to move around the world. It took persecution. It took Saul, who came in and was pulling churches apart and trying to shut things down. And yet people started moving further and further out. And as they were moving further and further out, people were starting to question, well, why are you moving from Jerusalem? Why are you moving to our community? And they have to say, because I believe in this man named Jesus. And this man named Jesus will change your life. He's the Savior of this world. He's the one that can take away heartache. He's the one that can redeem our souls. He's not a political leader, but he is a leader to save us from hell. Several years ago, I had a friend who was hanging out with some other friends. And as she was hanging out with these friends decided to watch a bad movie. My friend was so disgusted at the movie. My friend walked out of the room and said, "How can you guys take pleasure in watching such a movie?" Many of them made fun of my friend for walking out. But there was one person that was sitting there and saw how my friend had made a decision to be a witness for God, a witness for the truth. And as that other individual was sitting there watching my friend, she also observed how the others were making fun of that one that just walked out. And later that young lady contacted my friend and said, tell me how you had the courage to stand for what was right. Tell me how I can too stand for what is right. And my friend began to witness to that individual and tell that individual that it's through the power of the Holy Ghost that gives you the strength. It is through the power of the Holy Ghost. It's for a love for the things of God. And that young lady that was touched in that moment, observing that witness, is now married to a preacher and is ministering to many others. All it took was just one to stand for what was right. And it made a difference in another person's life. And that person now is impacting many, 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 many others. It just took one witness. It takes just one witness, folks. It just takes one example to stand up for what the truth. It takes one person to stand up for what is right. It just takes one to reach another soul. Unfortunately, and it should probably be this way, false witnesses don't make it into heaven. False witnesses don't make it into heaven. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, it says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." Could it possibly mean that we are also not to misrepresent others, our brothers and sisters? Could this mean that we are not to misrepresent other Christians? If we're not going to be a Christian every day, then we have two choices: to either be hot or cold, be in or out, or we are going to be considered a hypocrite and God will spew us out of his mouth. Revelations 3:15 and 16 says, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot." I would that would rather or wert cold or hot. "So when become thou lukewarm, neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." There isn't place for hypocrisy in heaven. There isn't place for being a false witness. Claiming to be a Christian one day and not the next is not being a good witness. Being a Christian one day and then not the next is not being a good Christian and an example and witness for everyone else. If you're not going to be a Christian, then why claim to be a Christian? Now I ask that everyone seek to be like Christ. Everyone seek to be a Christian. Everyone strive to be a Christian. Let's all work together to be a Christian. We have a church here. We have a body of believers to help each other continue in being a Christian. I want to be a good witness. I want to be a good witness of my God. I want to be a great witness of my God. When people see my witness, I want them to be able to see Christ. Basically, all our job is to be this big billboard that's pointing people to Christ. When people see us, they shouldn't see us. They should see Christ within us. Our job is to help connect people to Christ. Our job is not to bring in self-gratification, but it's just to continue to point people in the right direction. Continue to lead them in the right direction. And by being a witness, we are pointing them in the right direction. We cannot save people. We cannot save people. But we can point them to the Savior. We can point them in the right direction. We can't save people, but we can help get them in the right direction. Our job is to sow the word of God into people's lives. We are commanded to sow the word. One waters, another plants, but God brings the increase. It is not our job to solve all the world's problems, but it is our job to be a witness to the world. Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 3, verse 1 starts off with a story of Peter and John. It says, Peter and John went together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they had laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked of them some alms, or asked of some money. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John and said, look on us. Look on us, he said. And he gave heed unto them, and expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered into the temple, and walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. There was a man who was asking for money. There was a man sitting there who needed help. He thought he knew what he needed. He thought he needed just another couple coins to make it through the next day. Peter and John showed up, and Peter and John said, you're asking one thing, but you're asking for the wrong thing. I want to point you and make a connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, Peter reached out his hand, and the Holy Ghost gave that man strength and healed him, to the point where that guy started running around, and he started leaping, and he started praising God, and all the people started to witness what God had done in his life. All the people around started to question what God had done in his life. All the people saw it. Peter and John did not have what that man was asking for, but they did have what that man needed. Peter and John didn't have what that man was asking for, but they did have what that man needed. This world is asking for things that we cannot provide, but we have what this world is asking for. We have what the world is in need of. We have and what the world needs so badly. And who are we to keep it hidden? Who are we to hide it? Who are we to be selfish with it? Who are we to not share it? Let's let it out. Let's share it. Let's help be the heroes in this world. Our job, our number one job, is to help connect people to Jesus Christ. Our job is to be a witness, to help show people who Christ Jesus is. The church family, the church, the body of believers, is the greatest place to connect people with God. The church is the greatest place we can connect people with God. What if everybody were to invite somebody to church next week? Think about it. Use your imaginations real quick. Imagine your friend is sitting next to you next Sunday. What if everybody invited someone to church next Sunday? Look around real quick. Look around the church. What if everybody had someone else sitting next to them? Some rows would be pretty packed. Others could use a few more rows or a few more people. But what would this church look like if it had just a few more souls sitting in this local congregation? What would it look like if this church was doubled in size? We have three great events that happen here every week. Three great events that happen every week. It's called Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock every Sunday evening, and Wednesday at 7. There are three great opportunities to invite somebody to become connected with God. Three opportunities that you can invite somebody to be connected with God. Think about it. How many of you in this church are here because somebody invited you to this church? You're here because somebody invited you. We're talking about being a witness, helping connect people with Christ. The body of believers, the body of believers connect people with Christ. The more witnesses there are, help connect people with Christ. Everyone has some degree of influence. Some have more influence than others, but everyone has influence. So use your influence to help spread the gospel around the world. Help spread the gospel into the hurting family. Help spread the gospel into the seeking soul. Help spread the gospel into someone's life. Help you use your influence to help connect somebody with Christ. We are a chosen generation for this time. We are chosen for this time. It is our time to arise and to be able to use the power that God has given us. Through the prayer and through the fasting and through the study of God's word, we have been equipped, and God promises us that we won't be alone, but we will be working with Him hand in hand. And through the power of the Holy Ghost, we are going to be witnesses in this community and with our friends and with our family. And we're going to spread the gospel around the world together. What if you made a commitment tonight that the next person you saw that you did not know, you let them know what Christ did for you in your life? The next stranger you meet, what if you decided tonight that the next person you see, you're going to let them know how Jesus changed your life and how Jesus can change theirs? What if the next person you saw, you gave them an opportunity to be connected with God? Just an opportunity to be connected with God. Who knows? Somebody might just say yes. You don't know until you try. Remember, we are not here to grow a big church. We are not here to grow a big church. We are here to connect people to Christ. We are here to be a witness of Jesus Christ. We are here to guide people in the right direction. We are here to point Jesus, or to point people to the truth, His name being Jesus. We are here to direct people in the right direction. We are here to be witnesses. And I feel that this church has been very successful in doing that. I feel like this church has been very successful in doing that. My understanding that currently there are 25 to 35 people being taught Bible studies each week outside of church. The word is getting spread. The word is getting shared. The seed is getting sown. Have you ever prayed this prayer? Lord, lead me to someone that I can tell them about You. God, lead me to somebody that I can be a witness to. God, show me someone that I can be a witness to. Now, better be ready, because if you pray that prayer, guess what's going to happen? You're going to meet somebody that needs you. They don't need you. They need Christ. But God will use you. God will use you as a connector from them to God. God will use you as an arrow pointing in the right direction. God will use you to create that connection. Now, when I was younger, I was afraid to teach Bible studies. The thought of teaching someone a Bible study scared me. But now, I love it. It's awesome. It gives you... I've never had drugs ever. But it has to be better than drugs. Like, it is amazing. When you teach somebody the Word of God, when you teach somebody the Word of God and you see that connection and you start seeing it to take root, it is so fun. And you leave so energized and you leave so fulfilled. Why? Because there's something within us to be a witness. There's something within us to share the testimony of who Jesus is. There's something within us to be able to reach that local community. There was a time I was scared to teach Bible studies. There was a time I was afraid to even talk to people about God. There was a time in my life when it was like that. But after I finally decided I'd put that fear away and just give it a try, I failed. That first Bible study I tried, it flopped bad. I decided I'd try it and it went really bad. I was so embarrassed. I walked away. I don't even know where that guy is that I had that Bible study with. But it was shortly after that, someone else came into my life and started asking me a little bit about God. And my confidence began to build a little bit. And I started to realize that when it comes to sharing God's word and when it comes to being a witness, that oftentimes people just have questions that need to be answered. The questions that just need to be answered of why or what do you believe. So have an answer. Find your testimony of what God has done for you. Somehow put it into words so when someone asks the hope that is within you, you are ready always to give an answer to them that ask. Maybe you're not really willing to teach a Bible study. That's fine. Support someone who is. Maybe you're afraid to talk to somebody new. I understand that. I once was there. Encourage somebody that is willing. There is a place for all of us within the body of Christ. Maybe you get nervous speaking to people about God. Then why don't you spend some time praying for those that are witnessing and those that are talking to people about Christ? We just prayed for Sister Foster this evening. When I was going to Bible college here, I used to go over to her house and I'd mow her lawn for her through the summers. And I had many conversations with Sister Foster on her front steps there, and she would tell me about all the people she's praying for. She knew that she didn't have the strength to get out there and be doing the outreach and the evangelizing like she used to. But she found her place within the body of prayer. And she prays for us. And Pastor Grant said it tonight that she's a woman of prayer and she's prayed for all of us. It's true. She's prayed for all of us. She prays and prays and prays and prays. There's a place for all of us within the body. This is a part of working together. This is a part of being a witness together. This is a part of being unified as a church body and reaching this local community. Maybe outreach isn't your thing. So then just fast for those that are doing it. Maybe you can find your place in just helping set things up or take things down, but you're not really that person that likes to be at the door greeting. But maybe you are that person at the door that likes to greet. Maybe you are that person that likes to be able to get into people's lives and you can talk forever and ever and ever and ever. Then use your place. There's a place for all of us. God has established it to work that way. And as a church, as a body of believers, we will all work together and reach this local community. As we have people praying, and as we have people fasting, and as we have people studying the Word of God, we are all going to work together to step out by faith, and we are going to reach this local community. We are going to first reach Jerusalem, our friends, our neighbors, our family. Then we're going to reach out to the suburbs. We're going to reach out to those that we are acquaintance of, those that we know of. Then we're going to reach out to the Samaritans, the outcasts. We're going to reach out to those that need our help. And as a church, we're going to work together. If we don't, God might send some persecution. I don't want persecution. So I'm going to do some outreach. I'm going to do some praying. I'm going to do some fasting. I'm going to help reach this local community. Every Sunday, we have 60 to 70 volunteers helping connect people to Jesus. Many of them are you helping to connect people to Jesus. And as our church keeps growing, and as our church family keeps growing, we will continue to reach the lost. We will continue to reach those that need Christ. It is hard work to win one soul. It's hard work, but it's worth it. Everyone has their place in the body of Christ. If you see a need, just step out in faith and be that witness that Christ has called you to be. Let yourself become a conduit and connection to the power of Jesus Christ. Let's all stand. As you read through the book of Acts, you see these people that are lovers of God. As you continue to read, you see this empowerment, this equipping that takes place with the people of God. You see this hunger and this desire to reach their local community. We also should have that hunger and desire. Tonight, we're going to have a time for all of us to pray. And I want you to ask God, God, where's my place in this body? Where's my place in this community? God, send me somebody that I can reach. God, continue to help guide me. And remember, God has given us the commission. He has equipped us. He has given us the power to be the witnesses. And He won't let us be alone. God is working with us. Amen. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. God, thank you for this lesson this evening, Lord. Lord, we just see the hunger that we have, Lord. You see the hunger that's within this church to reach this community, Lord. Lord, you see those that are on a path to hell, Lord. Lord, there are so many that are lost. Who is going to give them the answer? Who's going to direct them the right way? God, help us to be better witnesses, Lord. Lord, help us to know our place within the body. Help continue to teach us and guide us, Lord. Lord, who can I be a witness to this week? Lord, who can I call? Who can I text? Who can I talk to about what you have done for me, Lord? Lord, how can I connect people to Christ in a better way? God, how can I work better within this body, Lord? Lord Jesus, teach us, guide us, consume us, Lord. Thank you for the empowerment that you've given us, Lord. Thank you for the Holy Ghost you've given us, Lord Jesus. Thank you for giving us a church family that is safe, that we can come together and to be able to worship together, Lord. Thank you for providing us such a wonderful facility, Lord. Thank you for helping us be able to be united and working together, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the families of this church, Lord Jesus. Thank you for all them that are here, Lord, in this body, Lord Jesus. Lord, help us, Lord, to work together like never before. Help us to be able to reach this local community, Lord, under the unctioning of your Holy Ghost, walking to and fro as the Spirit leads us, Lord, and as it guides us, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I invite everyone to come to the front. Let's worship the Lord together as a church. As the singers are singing, let's come and let's worship the Lord. And together, let's reach this community.